Joseph.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
What?
Are you okay, Bo?
Have you already gotten into the spirits for the day?
The holiday spirit, man. I got the holiday spirit in me right now because we're doing a Squire Select. And let's see. Last time I did It's Christmas Time at the Squire's. This time I think I'm going to go with the Squire outside is smoking.
Frightful. It is frightful. Yeah.
Man. I know you are crazy ridiculous. Busy, dude. We are weeks away. Mere days, one might even say, from Christmas. And man, I know with the holiday hustle and bustle, with everybody getting gifts and getting ready to receive gifts and buying gifts for themselves that they're going to tell everybody was from somebody else, but it was really from themselves to themselves. Uh-huh. I gotta imagine, man, there's a couple of those coming through the door at the Squire, right?
I think so. Yeah, we're seeing a few of those. No, it's been crazy, man. Just full throttle. Lots of long hours and all that, but it's been a lot of fun, man. The joyful ness of the season is upon us, and folks are in the spirit. So it's been kind of neat. I've been selling a whole lot of pipes this year. Even more so than last year, which is kind of interesting. So, yeah, moving a lot of estate pipes and some premium Petersons that came in recently, some Savinellis, and so good stuff, and some cigars too.
That's
been a lot of fun. Yeah,
that's awesome, man. I love to hear it. And man, we've got a great show planned for today. This is it's been a week. I'm really looking forward to this episode.
Yeah, me too.
You know, sometimes we need these Squire Selects for us, but
it's a selfish reason, you know, yeah. of occasionally doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. But man,
that is right.
Before we can really fully dive in, we got a few little housekeeping items. First off, you know, we mentioned last week, but we had to shut down the Best Of nomination process. However, it is back up and rolling and will be for a few more days. This is the last week to get your nominations in for this year's Best Of 2021. We're talking Best Of Pipe, Best Of Tobacconist, Best Of Accessory, Best Of Pipe Community, Best Of Pipe Publication, Best Pipe YouTube Channel. And again, when we're looking for nominations, we're specifically looking for folks that did something or created something or was created in this last past year that was 2021. That's what we love to celebrate every single year, as we have this kind of Best Of year in review type of episode and big up some folks in the industry. And this is y'all's opportunity to contribute to that as well. So if you have not already gotten your nominations in, head over to countrysquireradio.com, click the link, and that'll be up until probably Wednesday, if I had to guess. Basically, by the time the next episode is up, it'll be gone. So go ahead and get those in. All right, man. Any thoughts, anything people need to know about from the Squire? Do you still have pipe tobacco there that people can get?
Yeah, there is some pipe tobacco left. We do have a little bit left. Something cool I thought we would do. You know, last week we had a great tobacco talk where we talked about a couple of kind of difficult to get blends. And one thing I thought we would do, just to make it kind of fun for our club members, which, you know, we're so thankful for and obviously wouldn't be here without. We talked last week about St. Ives from Esoterica and then also House Reserve from Cornell and Deal. This week, I'm going to weigh these two tobaccos out into 1 ounce bags, and we're going to select 8 lucky members of the at random of the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. And we're going to send them each 1 ounce of all these of these great tobaccos. So a couple people will get House Reserve, and several people will get St. Ives from Esoterica. And that way you can try them yourself and see what you think. See how the old man did on his tobacco review. So,
Dude. Anyway, okay. This is great. So we're talking 8 of our Country Squire Radio club members. Yes. It's going to be totally at random. Now, you know, there's a couple different ways we could do this. I'm wondering, should we like read off the names next week? Is that what you're thinking? Like
I think so. Yeah, we should do that, and then we'll send them a little happy. Yeah, just in time for Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, I'm looking forward to this, man. I, you know, this is going to be really good, because if I'm not mistaken, I think next week is actually our Christmas special, our Dear Santa episode. So
I think
that's going to be great. We're going to be asking Santa for what we want while also kind of playing Santa for a few of our lucky club members. So that's, that's going to be exciting, man.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Just something good for them. You know, of course, if you're interested in joining the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, go to patreon.com/Country Squire Radio and you can do so there.
There you go.
Yeah. One other announcement real fast. It has been made known to me. We are now receiving nominations. Of course, we're doing the nominations for Best of 2021 here at Country Squire Radio. But there's another thing in the pipe community that is receiving nominations right now, and that is the designation for Master of Pipes. This is actually an award I won a couple years ago, but because of COVID and the fact that we have not had a Chicago pipe show since then, I haven't officially been inducted into the into the community because there, you know, there's been no place for us to do this. But they are still going forward with nominations and awarding the Master of Pipes designation each year. This is a really cool thing. Of course, it was a big honor for me to win it, and it was you know, something that I'm very proud of. But it's something that I want to bring to your attention because we want to try to identify people within the pipe community that are, you know, contributing in significant ways, particularly in that under 45 age range. You know, there are a lot of folks that have been well seasoned and they're, you know, on maybe a little older in years, but we've got a lot of younger folks in the pipe community that are contributing significantly to the, you know, the ongoing growth of our community, you know, new enthusiasts, you know, spreading the good word about what the pipe does for our spirits and our families and all that kind of stuff. And so I encourage you highly to nominate someone for the Master of Pipes designation that's done by the Chicagoland Pipe Club. And so what they do every single year, they pick one person from the industry. That'd be, you know, someone like me that's a tobacconist, but then also they pick someone from just the greater pipe collecting hobby, the pipe community as a whole, just a consumer and enthusiast. You know, it might be someone that's very active in a club or an organization. It might be a YouTuber. It might be someone that heads up a Facebook group, or, you know, just someone that's actively out there promoting the pipe smoking lifestyle and community. And so we are looking for that and nominations for that. And I highly encourage you to do that. You can go to chicagopipeshow.com. And click on menu, and under the menu, after you click menu, you'll see a little list that comes up, and you want to click on Master Program. You can click there and then nominate someone, anyone you like, as long as they're under 45 and involved in the pipe community in some way. Check it out. We encourage you to put just as much information as you can about the person, you know, what they're involved in, the types of things they do to further the pipe community, and how they've done that or accomplished that. And send those in. We really, you know, particularly the enthusiast, someone that's in the community that is just done a really good job at, you know, telling the fun of the hobby of the pipe and furthering our story. So get those in. We'd love to have you do that over the next couple of months.
Absolutely, man. Good stuff. Man, miss Chicago. I miss Chicago.
You and me both. Golly. It's painful.
Yeah. You know what's not painful?
Whiskey. Unless you drink too much.
Well, yeah, I guess it can be painful in that case. Well, this is why, you know, we are all about the moderation here. Enjoy responsibly, which we are about to do. Man, okay. Squire Select. Now, as longtime listeners know, this is our ongoing series where we pair up various beverages and pipe tobacco. And historically, it is predominantly whiskey. However, it has been from time to time gin or tea. We've done those kind of things. But
yeah, done red wine. Yeah,
we have done red wine as well. But when it comes down to it, man, the creme de la creme, the reason for the season, if the season is Squire Select season, really, it's the whiskey, right?
It's whiskey. It's brown water.
That's exactly right. There's, you know, the one of the things that we traditionally know, we've done scotch, we do bourbon, you know, they all get kind of mixed together for some time. We're actually doing kind of a rye edition of Squire Select today. And I'm very excited, man, because I am a fan of rye. I am a rye fan.
You are a rye fan.
I am a rye fan. It wasn't a joke. No, like I'm just literally like just making the statement, man. Like,
no, it's great. I'm a rye fan too, man. I was like, where are you going with this? Am I supposed to say something? Is there something I'm missing? No,
no, I just mean that, like when it comes down to it, even for like a bourbon, I generally am looking for any whiskey. I don't care if it's just a blended whiskey, if it's a bourbon, whatever it may be that is going to push the envelope. If you're pushing the envelope on rye, then you're probably going to be high on my list of favorites. Yeah. And so when it comes to rye itself, man, I am very, very excited because we've got two, I think, really decent ryes here to talk about today.
Yeah, I agree, man. This is this will be a fun episode because, of course, we're doing Squire Select. We always love doing that, you know, pairing it with various pipe tobaccos. And today we're going to be pairing with two Country Squire original tobaccos. So happy to be doing that. But, you know, we are going to talk about rye today. And rye is kind of going through a renaissance, right? You know, you see more and more rye every time you go into your local package store and, you know, scavenge through the bourbon selection or the whiskey selection that's there. And, you know, you've got all your major brands and a lot of them kind of lead with their bourbon, but then they've got this little green label right next to the bourbon. And it's the rye version, you know, it's the Wild Turkey rye and the Bullet rye. All the major brands that are starting to really push these ryes. And so there's just a big market for it. It's got a lot of appeal and they're just really good. They really are good. It's a great whiskey. What are ryes? You know, ryes, typically a rye whiskey has to have a mash that is 51% rye grain. And the other 49% can be, you know, any blend of corn, wheat, malted barley, various things. But it has to have that 51% rye grain.
Right.
The initial barrel strength of a straight rye cannot be more than 160 proof. Now, no one could drink 160 proof. I mean, that'd make you go blind. You know,
might give it a try.
I mean, you can. There's been those times in New Orleans that, you know, we do things you're not proud of. But anyway, typically this is obviously it's watered down, diluted like any other whiskey from the barrel, and can't be more than 125 proof, which is quite strong. But you know, most of them are watered down below that. So they are aged in these charred barrels. They tend to have, you know, new oak barrels and a minimum of 2 years, and they have that signature peppery taste. There's a peppery bite to it that is so pleasing, and just really that the folks who like rye, it's either off-putting or it's very pleasing, but it's that bite. It's that bite.
It's that peppery heat, man. It
peppery
hits
heat that's, you know, distinctive. Yeah. There's a warmth to it, I think, that just makes it really nice, either in a cocktail like a, you know, Sazerac or a Vieux-Carré or even an Old Fashioned or a Manhattan. I mean, it's a very versatile whiskey.
That's interesting, man, because you're exactly right. Like, even in most cocktails that generally call for bourbon, I would argue 9 times out of 10, they are actually better enhanced when you like you substitute the rye for the bourbon. Not to say they're not good with bourbon. I love a good bourbon cocktail as well. But generally speaking, because of that like extra peppery punch, it gives you a little something more. You know, last week I made reference to my Sazerac recipe, and you know, generally you're going to find that it's traditionally just straight rye, but I like to like cut it with a little bit of brandy because what it does is it prepares that punch heat with that sweetness, and I think it marries well together. But then on the other side, you've got a cocktail like the Old Fashioned, a classic cocktail, right? But there's a rye Old Fashioned. In fact, you could technically make an Old Fashioned exclusive with rye, and it's still considered an Old Fashioned, but it is a very different drinking experience. And I would argue a far superior one, depending on the bourbon, I suppose. But man, it's hard to get rye wrong, and it's hard to apply it in a place where it doesn't belong. My two cents.
It's great. It's very versatile. There are, you know, just as many awesome sipping ryes as there are ryes that are, you know, better suited for cocktails or mixed drinks or anything like that. But today we've got two fun ones. The first one we're going to talk about is the Cooper Family Rye. Cooper Family Distillery. This is a boutique blender in LaGrange, Texas, which is kind of halfway between Austin and Houston. They're in the central part of the state. The rye is their flagship spirit. This is something that they are really proud of, that they kind of lead with. And I think there's a good reason for that. They take a blend essentially of two different ryes from Indiana and Tennessee, two different ryes from well-known distilleries, and they blend them there in LaGrange, Texas. One of the ryes is a 51% rye, 36% corn, 13% barley. The other one is 95% rye. And so, and then these are 5-year-old and 3-year-old whiskeys, respectively. So they blend these together, you know, at a very specific combination and then make, you know, essentially a 90 proof whiskey. And it's really good. This is good. It's about $45 a bottle, you know, something I think that is very approachable. And if you want the experience of what a good rye, you know, is like, this is a good place to start. Yeah,
that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you get, you know, when you smell the Cooper Family rye, Bo, what do you smell?
Man, okay, so and this is going to be kind of it's hard to pick up a quality whiskey in the rye bourbon kind of spectrum and not instantly get hit with some form of vanilla, and that is definitely here.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not over the top, man. This one is much more of kind of like a, you know, I actually get a little bit of honey out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the test tube right now, so. You are too.
I am. Yep.
You know, I tell you what, and actually, Matt, we should even reference this, right? Like we, at the moment, you and I are actually drinking it out of a test tube.
We are.
Because of the method of preservation.
You really are doing very, yeah, no, if you really are doing like very experimental work, you know, I mean, it's obviously it looks like we're scientists or something using right. a big test tube like this to drink whiskey out of.
Well, and it's one of these great things is because this came from a batch of whiskeys that I kind of collected over a season where, you know, ideally trying to get something that either isn't as readily available, you know, in Mississippi or, you know, just kind of expanded the palate a little bit, something that's, you know, a little bit off the beaten path. The great thing about this one, as you mentioned, is that Cooper Family is a Texas-based family and whiskey from that standpoint. And so it's great to kind of pay homage to, you know, here in the home state, but at the same time, it is also one that's going to be harder to get your hands on, which is unfortunate because as we're still sniffing the little nose here, it is quite, quite delicious and sweeter up front on your nose than it is on your tongue.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you do get that hint of vanilla that you mentioned that is almost universal in any, you know, corn-based alcohol. And then there's that signature kind of pungent sour sting that's there with that is very typical of a rye whiskey, a little bit of oak in the background, but that smell is very, very pleasant. It, you know, on the distillery, you actually read on their website from the Cooper family, and Cooper is spelled with a K, by the way, K-O-O-P-E-R, family rye is what we're drinking now. But on the whiskey's website, the Cooper family website, they actually mention, I caught this as interesting, but then I was like, I could see that. They actually mentioned the aroma of dill also on the nose, which I thought was interesting. I kind of caught that. I feel like that's
a stretch. I saw that as well. And I'm like, I don't know. But yeah. I mean, to be fair, your palate is far more advanced than mine. So I will defer to your judgment.
I mean, I could see it. Yeah. I saw that and was like, well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So anyway, kind of interesting. But, you know, dill has a very, you know, very distinctive aroma and flavor to it. So, Bo, shall we drink?
Oh, yes. As if we haven't already.
I know.
Ting.
Cheers.
Cheers. Okay. So as mentioned, this has kind of a, you know, you pick up all those kind of sweet smells right out of the glass. But then as you're drinking it, it really transitions, not abruptly, but it does transition. You've got kind of that cinnamon, caramely type of kind of entry, but then that rye heat. And there is a little bit more of kind of a distinctly alcohol flavor, like that distinct alcohol like taste is still very much there, but it's not. Mm. It's not overpowering by any stretch of the imagination. And it does blend, like it all kind of comes together in a really, really quality way. I kind of consider this a rye that works in both ways. Yes, you can sip this, but I also see this as whatever your like cocktail of choice is, this is going to bring it up another notch. You know what I mean? Like, this is a really good cocktail rye. It's also good for sipping. And I mean, like, they really want you to sip it. And I'm, you know, I'm not going to get mad at anybody for sipping it. It's good. I'm sipping it now. But at the same time, like, this one really is, I think, one of those ryes that can bring up your cocktail game in a significant way.
Yeah. Anytime we see these like small batch boutique blend, you know, whiskey blenders or new distilleries that pop up, you kind of, you're excited. You're like, okay, something regional and fun, or maybe it's in your hometown or, you know, whatever. And, but a lot of times, you know, we're like, okay, well, you know, what is really our expectation for this?
Right. Exactly.
Is it going to be, is this just another, like, you know, thing to say, oh, our hometown has a still, you know, or our hometown has a, you know, a vodka brand or whatever it is.
And hey, Cathead so vodka like, oh, is good, man. Like that. I'm not. It is.
And some of them are very good. There's enough of these kind of nondescript, quote unquote, boutique, you know, whiskey blenders that you kind of start saying, well, okay, well, you know, hopefully it's good. And it's probably pretty serviceable or whatever. Some of them are not, you know, they're, you know, there's certainly a spectrum, but this is one of those that's really freaking good.
It's actually good.
This is great. Yeah, I mean, this is a great rye whiskey. I thoroughly enjoyed this for $45 a bottle. You know, you're talking about something that is packed with flavor. It's intricate. It's pleasant. It is very sippable. It also would make a great cocktail addition. But you know, yeah, I think all your you know tasting notes are really similar to what I experienced. That initial very you know sweet flavor that just is kind of a burst up front. And it's almost more of a remnant from kind of the nose that you got from smelling it. But after that, that dissipates into a nice tongue coating. You get a little vanilla and maybe some pear in there, but then it transforms into this very pleasant bite that you expect from rye. And after that tongue coating kind of starts to dissipate a little bit, that lingering sting transitions along with a very nice astringency. And you mentioned that alcohol flavor.
Right.
It's almost like a... It's like that astringency that comes from the dryness on your tongue that you associate with alcohol. You know, that dryness, it lingers into the finish. It's almost reminiscent of a nice, real robust tannic red wine, like a you know, a full body Cabernet that kind of leaves you, you know, smacking your tongue and your lips a little bit, just, you know, a little dry in a pleasant way in your mouth. It's really
interesting.
Good.
So for me, like that aspect is not something that is typically a favorite of mine. Generally speaking, like that dryness, that kind of alcohol coating at the very tail end, to me, that's where a whiskey or really any kind of liquor kind of decides whether or not it's going to be, this is sippable or this is cocktail. And cocktail, again, like that's not a, that's not a negative thing, right? Like, it's not like you've been demoted or anything of that nature.
No, yeah. No, that's fair.
And that's why I really, like, I see this as like a really, really quality rye, but I do see it more as kind of like one for, you know, not just like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's serviceable, mix it in, you know, whatever it may be. Like, no. Like, whatever your cocktail of choice is, if it's got rye, this is going to kick it up a notch. And it's specifically because of that. What was the term that you used?
That astringency.
It's
you know, that kind of medicinal tongue coating that just leaves it a little, just a little parched there. And you know, what's interesting that might be the reason you don't drink this particular whiskey straight.
That's a good point. Yep.
That's the reason I probably will drink this whiskey straight. There's something about that that's very appealing to me. It's the reason I, you know, love a robust Cabernet or, you know, something of that nature, even pike tobaccos that do that. We talked about St. Ives last week, kind of leaving your mouth a little dry. And, you know, that's cool to me. So this is a good one. If you're ever in Texas and passing through or can order a bottle of this from out of state, I'd recommend the Cooper Family Rye. Yeah.
Absolutely. Also, our friends in California, I believe, actually also have access to this as well. So
good.
California, Texas, be sure to pick it up. All right. So I'm curious, man, with something like this, how do you go about that pairing? Because you do have the sweetness, you do have the dryness, you've got kind of all that at play. Where are you going?
I felt like we needed to continue to let the whiskey shine, but also lean into the natural flavor of it without complicating it too much. And so I picked a Country Squire tobacco for both of our pairings today. Today, we are pairing with the Cooper Family Rye, a old Country Squire favorite, and that is Choctaw. Choctaw is a tobacco that we've had for a long time. It's the brother of our better-known tobacco Cherokee. Cherokee and Choctaw over the years have become kind of Mario and Luigi of country squire tobaccos. You know, it's like Luigi's the fun one that's not quite as well known. Mario gets all the fame, but Choctaw, it's got a little more strength, a little more bite to it than Cherokee. The Virginias are a little more pronounced and maybe a little stronger and a different Cavendish ratio. And so it's a very smooth tobacco, but it does have a little bit of a bite, which is very pleasant, and a nice soft aromatic note to it that, you know, makes the room smell like a nice warm vanilla. And so, yeah, I think this is a good pairing for this. It complements the whiskey nicely without confusing things too much. We're not really trying to get into a super complicated pairing here. This is something where we're just kind of leaning into the existing flavors and the pleasant texture of that bite. And so, yeah, man, Choctaw with the Cooper Family Rye. Hope you all enjoy it.
Man, I haven't had some Choctaw in a minute. It's been a long time.
Yeah. It's a good one, man. That used to be, of course, Cherokee number two. Cherokee number one. Cherokee number one eventually became Choctaw, and we're happy to have it at the Squire.
All right, man. Okay, great pairing. This next one. So let me ask you something, John David. When you think of Canada, what comes to mind out of curiosity? Just pretend like we're not doing this and you don't know where I'm going with this. Like, if you think of just Canada, what comes to mind?
Yeah, like Mounties.
Mounties, okay.
Or maple leaves, hockey.
Hockey.
Queen Elizabeth is the queen of Canada. I think of her, like, on their coins and stuff.
All right.
Yeah, I don't really think of rye whiskey. Yep.
But you should. But maybe,
apparently I should.
Maybe you should. Crown Royal, by the way, obviously a Canadian
whiskey.
Right there. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
But that's the thing, right? When part of this is our experience as Americans in the southern region, right? Like, you know, there's like Canada is so far up north. Like, it's like more north than the North Pole for us, right? Like, we know Santa better than we know Canada, right?
That's true.
That's right. Yeah. So
that's true. Another thing I think of when I think of Canada is on South Park, how they draw all the Canadians with their heads like in two halves of the egg, you know, kind of thing, like flopping up and down. Yeah. Right. And there's that too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
There goes all our Canadian listeners.
No. Like, I don't think we've said anything negative about Canada, which I feel like we should get credit for. We have not said anything negative about Canada because Canada makes excellent maple syrup. They make Mounties, apparently. They've got mooses, and mooses are cool. You know,
right? They are.
Mises? Mice. That's not right.
I think it's actually just moose.
What do you call a gathering of moose? You call it moose?
We got to phone a Canadian.
We got to phone a Canadian.
I think you learn that kind of stuff at like age two in Canada.
That's right.
With your ABCs.
How many moose-eye does it take to pull
moose-eye?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Anyway, point is they got mooses up there, and then they've got maple leaves, maple syrup. I think I already said maple syrup. Anyway, point is Canada. You don't think of whiskey. I'm sorry. Like, here in the South, when we think whiskey, we don't think Canada. We think Kentucky. Yep. End of list. Like, that is what we think of.
and then like a 1B, you know, you've got Tennessee and, you know, those other kind of upper South, lower Midwestern.
That's exactly
states.
Right. Like, exactly. Yeah. You got Tennessee. We'll think of like the Islays of the Scottish lands and all that kind of good stuff as well.
It's really the same as tobacco country. You know, you think all those old tobacco states, you know, not necessarily Virginia, but certainly Kentucky, Tennessee, Maryland, you know, that area, parts of Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Well, and the other factor too is, you know, you're always taught you never punch down, you always punch up. And when you're in the South, you know, you can't punch further higher up than Canada. So a lot of times, a lot of the jokes that we have are geared towards Canada and that sort of thing. My point is, as a Mississippian born and raised, I would like to formally apologize to the entire country of Canada, because I didn't realize that y'all know something up there. When it comes to rye, when it comes to whiskey. So I apologize. If you're still listening, if we didn't offend you before and you're still listening, Canada, I offer up this sincere apology on behalf of my state, my brethren. We didn't know. We are very sorry.
And we humbly repent.
We humbly repent. We're about to talk about Tap Whiskey, man. Tap 8 whiskey here. I'm really excited about this one in particular.
Tap 8 rye whiskey. This is a sherry finished whiskey.
Yes.
Interesting. Really, really, really interesting whiskey. If you're into any type of alcohol that's been finished in another cask or blended with something interesting that might not be kind of the go-to for that particular spirit. But Tap Whiskey, the distillery, a Canadian rye whiskey with a twist is kind of how they build themselves. But they started with their entire line with a maple rye whiskey, which kind of incorporated that signature Canadian flavor there, and then expanded into other short run whiskeys that are kind of these small batch blends. They've taken the idea of coming out with a whiskey, mixing it with something interesting, and then letting that run. It's kind of like small batch pipe tobaccos or anything else.
That's right, yeah.
Kind of finding these interesting blends and putting them on the shelf for a limited time. And it's really, really neat concept. So the sherry finished rye, this is an 8-year-old aged whiskey, and they make that very apparent on the front of the bottle. There's this huge 8 right there in the middle. And we know it's different from Old Charter because it's not 8 seasons or 8 days. It's 8 years. It's 8 years.
It's not just 8.
Right. It's not just 8. Yeah, so this is a sherry. They call this sherry finished, but I want to be clear about what they mean here.
Right.
The sherry they're using is from Jerez, Spain, and they actually are. This is not being aged in sherry casks. They're actually adding sherry to the whiskey. Like
right.
you can taste it. Like this is not like, okay, well, this was finished in a port cask or a sherry cask. They're actually putting sherry in it.
It sounds offensive, but
yeah,
but,
sure.
But judge not. You know what I mean? Like,
give it a whirl.
Yeah. it is like, that's the thing. It's not what you would think about, right? Like it's not, that doesn't seem to make sense. And yet
it does.
It does. It's good. It's good. Man.
It is good. Yeah. No, it's a mild whiskey. It's 83 proof and retails for about $40 a bottle. And very interesting. You know, I will say about Canadian ryes, they don't hold to the same strict definitions as American ryes. Matter of fact, they even spell it differently. It's with a SKY, kind of like a Scotch whiskey instead of an EY like you see in your American counterparts. But you know, just because they don't hold to these strict standards doesn't mean they're not as good. It's a different definition is what it is. Canadian rye, it's more like the Wild West. You know, they don't have to have all these real, specific designations in order to become a rye whiskey in Canada.
Wild West, totally unregulated.
Like yeah.
Canada. What?
Just like Canada. Totally regulated.
No, here's the thing. You're exactly right. They don't hold to the Canadian rye, Canadian whiskey, as a whole, does not have the same kind of, you know, standards or regulation when it comes to what they can call a thing, especially when it comes to rye.
It's just different.
And that is why I would really strongly advise. And there's a good reason why I like these two particular ryes together. In this episode, because one, like I mentioned before, is really a cocktail rye, like takes your cocktail to the next level. I would argue, and this is, I'll say this somewhat universally, and I'll take the hate if I'm wrong. I would steer clear of anything that says Canadian rye when it comes to mixing a cocktail, because of that fact. You don't really know, unless you know that beverage well, you don't have that confidence that you're actually getting kind of that standard rye kind of punch, right? And so when you're looking at kind of the way in which it incorporates all the different ingredients, it's not the way to go. That said, oh man, like I mentioned at the top of the show, man, I look for bourbons that have as high rye content as they can possibly force into it. And so when you're talking about a whiskey that is kind of trying to push the rye envelope, I'm there. So when I pick this up, I don't sip it as a standard rye. I sip it as like a whiskey that is fantastic, that has that beautiful rye content. It is much more smooth than your traditional rye. It's so good.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And it's a good sip. This is a sipping whiskey.
It is a sipping whiskey. That is exactly right.
Yeah. You'll want to drink this by itself. So, you know, the nose again, on this, as you're smelling it, it's really more akin to bourbon than it is a rye.
Exactly. Yes.
It's got that, you know, more sweet kind of corn based aroma that you get, but a lot of this has really got to be from the sherry. I mean, you can, that sherry essence is certainly there. It's that astringency sweetness that we talked about with the other ones. Very pleasant. It's a plummy smell to it. When you drink it, I'm not even going to pretend like we haven't been drinking this because we already have been.
I'm like down to the dregs in my glass.
Very, I know, right? It's delicious. You know, it's different. This is very different. It's not your standard rye, certainly from an American perspective. And that's what they're after. That's what the folks at Tap Rye are going for. They're going for something different, you know, in these small batch kind of quirky, you know, mixtures of, you know, finishes and pairings and that type of thing with the sherry finished Tap Rye. You know, the sherry in this is highly evident. I'll tell you what this reminds me of. The flavor of this whiskey, it tastes like whiskey, but it also tastes like the port that we serve at my church for communion. It has, it's got a plummy sour sweetness to it that it just tastes like sherry. It does. You get it there, and it's really fascinating. The initial note too, with honey, I think is quite strong. It coats the tongue nicely and then graduates into just a very sweet sipping whiskey that has a hint of bite, but not the signature bite that you think of in a traditional American
rye. Yeah, not at all the same. I mean, like the comparison to bourbon, I think is exactly right. If you think about a bourbon that has more of a rye, like a rye content than your standard bourbon, but is still very much a bourbon, like that is what you're looking at with this particular beverage.
Yeah. And now, let me be clear about my own preferences here. You know, the more as time has gone on, I am not a fan of all this mixing stuff. I'm just not. Like, you know, when, you know, folks, you know, do like a, you know, the more I've had them, like a barrel-aged gin or a rum cask scotch or something, I just... Just stop it. You know,
hey, whoa. Because you know,
for me,
you just fired shots at Balvenie Caribbean Cask, and you are wrong for that. No, that is a fantastic scotch. Okay.
No, it's for
a season. It is not for like all times, but I mean,
it's for a season. You know, if I'm going to spend that much money on, you know, on a scotch, I don't want something that tastes like rum.
I can't. Santa, I know you're listening, and it is on my wish list.
Someone's been a bad boy.
Balvenie Caribbean. Send me all of John David's Balvenie Caribbean cask. I love this. But no, this is good. This is good to kind of set that.
It's great. Just for me personally. Yeah. I mean that's become a thing for me. I've kind of, you know, every time I kind of roll my eyes at some of these pairings that I see. So I will say, when I went into this particular rye with this kind of sherry finish on it, I was skeptical, but
right,
just to kind of lay that down. But this is good. This is good. I you know, this is something where I get enough of the rye experience to where I kind of go into it not I guess shocked or off put at the difference of it. But it's a very pleasant, unique experience and something really worth sipping. I actually kind of like the fact that it's only 83 proof. It just makes it very approachable. And for me, that's a good thing to have in the liquor cabinet.
Absolutely, man. And I think like that's, again, one of the biggest things that I feel like I need to stress is this is good. It is not a traditional rye as kind of we in America would call it. But in terms of like sippable, man, ooh, just this by the fire, come on. This is Christmas in a glass.
In some ways, it kind of reminds me of a cognac because it has that that sherry maybe adds a little thickness to it. It's almost a viscous that tongue coating is just very pleasant. It's and then of course semi sweet with just a little bite. So it's good.
Yeah, I definitely see that. All right, so with this one, obviously it's a gear shift from the last one, right? We do have kind of a lot of sweetness at play here, a smoother, sippable drink from that standpoint. So I'm curious, did you go opposite? Did you kind of stay in that same wheelhouse, or did you do something totally different?
I wanted to kind of ramp up the features that you would expect in a traditional rye, and so I went for something with a little kick and a little bite. And I went with Country Squire Merriweather. Merriweather is a Virginia Burley blend that we have made for a long time. It used to be a straight Virginia, and over the years it adopted some Burley. But Merriweather is a great tobacco. It's just a semi-sweet Virginia blend that's got addition of some Burley. It just has a really pleasant bite. And for me, that is kind of, if anything, we're going to be lacking in the tap rye 8-year sherry finish bottle. For that would be it for me, is that just that little bit of signature bite that I'm kind of missing, you know, from a good brown water. And so, that Merriweather's nice. It's got a nice natural sugar content. It has that pleasant bite, and it makes the room smell really nice without being, you know, cloyingly sweet or anything like that. It just has a nice kind of simple nougat mellow flavor to it. It's very pleasant. So yeah, Country Squire Merriweather. It's one of my favorites that we make at our shop, and hope you try it.
Man. Okay. So I'm curious, not anti, what's the right word here? You're curmudgeonness towards innovation. No, I'm just kidding. Not towards innovation.
But innovation in general. Your backwardness.
No. But like, all right. So you're mature, right? You've reached these crazy kids, what with their cask this and cask that. I am kind of curious. What would you consider like a pipe tobacco version of this? What would be the Belvini Caribbean cask of the pipe tobacco world for you?
Well, I mean, there are barrel aged pipe tobaccos, obviously. I mean, you're seeing a lot of that now. I mean, so to talk about apples to apples, you actually are seeing pipe tobacco aged in either whiskey barrels or brandy barrels or, you know, all this other stuff in order to infuse some of that flavor. And some of those are really good, and some of them are, you know, just fair to Midland.
Okay.
But,
all right.
And so that, you know, I guess, but I don't approach those maybe with the same skepticism.
Because bias or why?
Probably because bias. Okay. Yeah. Probably because when I go into, I think I just have a more preconceived notion for what certain types of spirits taste like. And with pipe tobacco, maybe I go into it a little more open. I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
don't get me wrong. I mean, like, no, I did not expect this like random like sideswipe at Belvini Caribbean cask. And I'm triggered.
You're the
now.
One that brought up that particular brand. Okay. No, I'm just saying
it
like
you said it without saying it. You definitely said it without saying it.
No, I mean, look, we, you know, my wife, she was so excited. We, you know, went to Costco and they had this, I don't know, $300 or $400 bottle of what is it called? It was Macallan Double Oak. Some kind of barrel, something or other. It was really expensive, and yeah, you know, it was very good. It was very good, but you know, she was like, "What if we got a group of people together and all pitched in, you know, $50 or whatever, and bought this bottle, and then we kind of shared it?" And it was really neat. It was a neat idea. And so that's what we did. We went in together and all, you know, got a big group of people and bought this bottle and had a little house party and cracked it open, and it was you know, it was really good. But it tasted like rum. I mean, this was a $300 or $400 scotch that tasted like rum.
So it's like a Macallan with a rum finish. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, man, you know, I was just kind of looking forward to drinking really good scotch, you know, but I don't know. If I want to drink rum, I'll go drink rum.
I mean, I hear that. I hear that. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, hey, Missouri Meerschaum's awesome. Sorry.
They are.
That's a terrible,
and you know what's not barrel aged ever is Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. They never barrel age their corn, man. We have seen with our own eyes. We have held with our own hands the corn they use there, man. And you talk about an awesome, awesome company, an amazing team there that are making some quality corn cob pipes. And man, they are also bringing folks with the clay pipes as well. You've got these great Christmas bundles that are available right now. And then of course we've got the Days of Giving, man. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on there.
Yeah, between now and Christmas Day, which is approaching very, very soon, they are giving away one prize every day. If you go to their website and sign up, there's a daily entry form. You can go every single day, fill out an entry, and they're giving away one prize every single day between now and Christmas, and they'll send it right to your door if you win. So 25 days of giving, they're giving away pipes, pipe tools, accessories, apparel, all kinds of cool stuff. You do have to be 21 to enter, but if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably 21, we hope, anyway. So
you should be. Don't get us in trouble.
I know, right? So go to Missouri. You can go to corncobpipe.com, check it out. click the link there at the very front page, fill out the entry form, and maybe purchase something while you're there.
Well, hey, we want to thank our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
And my question of the week this week coming in from Derek J, who writes in, "Hey guys, I have a question about storing pipe tobacco. I have some 2 ounce tins of Jolly Old Saint Nick from Cornell and Deal. I tried it the first time when I started smoking a pipe. I liked it so much that I got a few other cans. I checked on them recently and the can is what is called slightly bloated. A few other types of tobacco of the same age have not bloated. They're still sealed. But what's that about? Is it still okay to smoke? And did I ruin great tobacco? Best way to store after opening the tin? ?" Thanks. Love the show. From Derek J.
Derek, great question, man. And yeah, man, that tobacco can is perfectly safe to open and smoke. So as we talked about before on aging pipe tobaccos, there's an ongoing fermentation process that's happening inside that can as it's aging. And with the Cornell and Deal style tin, there is oxygen in the tin when they seal that tin. And so it's going through this aerobic fermentation process, essentially, as those little microbes that are in there kind of chewing on the sugars in those tobacco leaves, the flavors are getting more and more complex. They're being broken down into their baser elements. And frankly, the tobacco is getting probably more and more delicious. That is putting off the byproducts of some gas. And so as that happens, that can is going to start to expand just a little bit. And a lot of times you'll see this in a tobacco that's been well fermented over time. It'll start to kind of, you know, get a little pudgy there at the middle of the can. I had a big brick of Cornell and Deal Briar Fox. Briar Fox is a crumble cake that they make, but they also, you know, most of it's sold in a 2 ounce tin, but they also sell it in a giant brick. It's like a pound brick that you can buy. And then they cover it in basically a plastic envelope that's tightly sealed. And I sat on that for a couple of years. It was at the shop and pulled it out of the box one time. I'd kind of forgotten about it, to be honest with you. And it was like this puffy pillow. it was like this pillow where, you know, all of a sudden, wait a sec, like this is a sealed bag. How do this, you know, why is it, you know, filled up with something where it wasn't before? It was just the tobacco in there. And so that's what's happening. And it's probably the characteristic of a really well-aged tobacco. And I think you ought to crack it open and enjoy it. Just once you open it, store it in a good mason jar, like you would any other premium tobacco. And I think you'll be in good shape.
Man. Good stuff. And hey, a great pipe question. If you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send that into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question. Ow. All right, man. Quick fire questions. This one is from Pastor Joda. Man, Pastor Joda, by the way, going through, I won't get into it on the show, but some just family situations going on. I just want to give kind of thoughts and prayers out to Pastor Joda right now, man. He's just thinking about you, brother. Man, he sent in these. These are our Macy's Thanksgiving Parade Edition. So Thanksgiving has come and gone, but here's my logic. Because so much of the world decides that they want to put the Christmas decorations up before Thanksgiving, I think in retaliation, John David, we did not start this war. Okay. We are merely retaliating. I say we bring the Thanksgiving into the Christmas season.
Huh? I have this Take mental image. I have this mental image of like turkeys wearing pilgrim hats invading December with muskets. So Thanksgiving is invading December. Okay,
no,
here we go.
No, we're it's conquest. We're taking it and bringing it in. We're time travel. Anyway, point is Macy's okay. Thanksgiving Parade edition from Pastor Joda. Giant balloon characters or traditional floats?
Oh, the balloon characters, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Baby Yoda, by the way.
Was making a debut.
Yeah, I missed, by the way, my favorite balloon of all time was the Spider-Man balloon. And they retired that about 7 years ago or so. And it still breaks my heart. I miss it. I miss the Spider-Man balloon. marching band or Broadway show musical numbers?
marching band. For me, that's just like, you know, they invite these really talented marching bands from all over the country. They go to New York City. It's a big deal where they get kind of this showcase in front of the world. I don't know. I got to go with that.
No, it's great for the kids. I don't want to naysay that because you're right. It is great for the kids. It's such an amazing, you know, opportunity. And how cool is that? But I'm all about, you know me, man. I'm a show tunes guy. Like bring on the Broadway. I'm all for it.
You're dogging the other like it's good for the kids, but then you're the one excited about Baby Yoda and Spider-Man balloons. So we're going to just move on to the next one.
Actually, watch the parade or turn it on in the back for background noise.
Half and half. You know, the Thanksgiving parade is, for me, it's like in between eating and the egg bowl. It's that middle ground time, like where you kind of, yeah, you're full, you know, maybe it's time to have a little coffee or maybe another beer and then kind of get your mind right for watching some football.
Oh, interesting. So y'all must eat early, because like the parade typically for us is before the meal, and like literally it's what leads into the meal. So it's during all the cooking. I'm generally, especially at the beginning, I see the turkey, was it Tom the Turkey, go across and everything, and I'll watch until, I basically have a couple of floats I'm looking for. I'm looking for Pikachu, and now I'm looking for Baby Yoda as well, right? So those, and like everybody in the house knows, like if I'm not in the room, because eventually, you know, you kind of watch it for a while, and then you're like, you know, you go help with, you know, basting or whatever you might be doing. And then it's like, oh, it's Pikachu. And then like, you know, you come running back in the room and be like, oh, there he is, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm half and half as well. Absolutely.
I love you both.
attending in person, a dream come true or the stuff of nightmares?
You know, I think TV is good for this one. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be fun to be there in person, but yeah, if I was going to pick a big event to go to in New York City, this probably wouldn't be it.
It is literally on my bucket list. It is literally a bucket list item for me. I would love to, like, when the kids are grown up and they've gone off to college and everything, and they're not coming home for Thanksgiving, whatever it may be. Like my wife and I, we've talked about it. Like our plan is to try to like volunteer to like be in the parade, like to help out with one of the balloons or the floats or whatever it is. But like, it is literally one of my bucket list items.
That's great.
As he shakes his head.
I'm happy for you. No, that's, I'm very happy for you.
Definitely attending in person for me. But I also, I want to be in the parade, because the great thing about being in the parade is that you don't have to like squeeze up to all these people that are just trying to see it. You can just kind of casually walk down the street. You know, like that's the ideal. Like that's the thing. I don't want to go to watch in person. I want to be in the parade.
Actual parade. I agree with that. Yeah.
If you were in the parade, what would you want to do? So this is more of just a
this is easy.
Question. Yeah. What about you?
This is easy. I would want to hold one of the strings that hold up those big balloon animals. You know, that's the thing. I would want to feel the power of, like, I am part of the reason keeping this, you know, giant balloon character tethered to the earth. Right. Like there's a sense of importance there. That's like, no, if I let go of mine, like Pikachu might, you know,
destroy,
go away.
Destroy,
you know
what New I mean? York
yeah.
City.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's like a leash. It's like a Pikachu leash. Yeah. I'd want to do that.
Yeah, that's good. No, I'm the exact same way, man. I would, my ideal, I'll take whatever I can get when the time comes. No, you laugh, but I'm serious. Like, this is literally on my bucket list and has been for years. But my preference would definitely be to hold the balloon, but I don't know if they let the average Joe do that. I don't know. I feel like you need to get like certified to hold the balloon.
Yeah, there's probably like a class you have to go to, or there's like a, you know, different belts of balloon handlers. And like when you get to the, you know, triple black belt, then that's when you can hold the balloon string.
They probably like, they vet you hard too. Like, could you imagine like
background check? Yeah.
Cause like what you just said, they could release Pikachu and now he's like floating and flying down New York City, like attacking buildings and everything.
About to, you know, run into the Chrysler building or something.
There you go. That's quick fire questions from our friend Pastor Joda. Thanks so much for those. If you've got quick fire questions, be sure to send them into the show at show@countrysquireradio.com. By the way, if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, you can, of course, follow all of our social media and personal information over at countrysquireradio.com is the place to do it. That's got all the good stuff there. Man, we are next week, man, is our Dear Santa Claus episode. I'm really looking forward to it.
I know, right? Yep.
Yeah. Be fun. Like, it's, you know, the funny thing is, man, I just want to make mention of this, and I'm sure I'll make mention of next week as well when we record, but I think it's just something it's just something to kind of reflect on. We've been doing this show for many years now, and that means that every single year, every single Christmas is marked by you and me spending some one-on-one time together. And through all the chaos of like babies and kids and spouses and the shop and businesses and everything else, it's been a consistent for like the last several years. And I want you to know, man, I really appreciate you, brother.
Man, I feel the same way, dude. I look forward to it every year. And it's, you know, something we just, it's a baseline. It's something that holds steady in the midst of all the insanity. So, it's good to be here with you.
Well, keep the eggnog handy because we will definitely be enjoying it next week. But until then, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.